Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
MVP is returning, TNA's big free agent is announced, and lots of title changes at Slammiversary. All this and much, much more in this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark, we are the podcast that provides most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So TNA is no longer airing live. What's going on with this, Aaron?
Yeah, we had announced before that they're going to be airing on a tape delay, and that is going to be the case going forward. So it's actually going to be everywhere on a tape delay. That means that when you see the show in Peoria, you will actually be seeing it live, and then when I see it, no, I mean, I'll be seeing it on delay anyway, but if I was in anywhere else, I would be seeing it an hour or two later.
And also, when we go to Peoria, just let everyone know, we are going to live tweet while we're there. Friend of the show, Doug Hahn, will be there, along with myself and Mr. Pate. We're all going to be there at the show, and unless they steal my phone from me, I will definitely be live tweeting the entire time, because, you know, we are VIPs. So Bound for Glory is going to be in San Diego. Now, Slammiversary only had about 3,600 people there. Not even close to a sellout. Do you think this is a mistake, or do you think this is the right thing to do?
They've done the research. Look, I don't think of San Diego as being a wrestling town necessarily, but they didn't choose San Diego just randomly. They obviously had some data there. Some research was done for a reason why San Diego was the choice. I am a little surprised by it. I would think LA would be a better choice if you're looking for a place in California. But, you know, my thing is this. I hope that they sell out. I hope that they do a really good job of promoting it. You know, tonight on Impact, that they were showing a ton of BFG stuff. So it seems like that they are going to be, you know, promoting the crap out of it. I really do hope that this is a smart move for them.
Now, even though it is San Diego, LA's really close. Do you think they're going to try and bring, you know, like some Hollywood celebrities in for this, you know, just to promote a little bit more, just so people don't consider them the other promotion and they're considered TNA?
Well, they are the other promotion, but I could see them trying to bring in some celebrity guests, maybe a David Arquette, and have him win the TNA title. You know, I think that's the best thing to do.
And also, speaking of celebrities, they brought in TNA announced what their big free agent was going to be, and everyone thought MVP. Then they thought maybe Colt Cabana, which he shot that down real quick. And then the other person was, who is it? Batista. And Batista, I love his Twitter thing. He goes, "I bleed WWE." He is right on that, but they decided to sign Quentin Rampage Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really big free agent? Because he's really doing Bellator. He's not really, he's doing some TNA, but it's more Bellator.
This was a big, you know, like push for them to get their name out there. TNA says we've signed a major free agent, and then it's Batista, MVP, is Matt Hardy, RVD, you know, what big names are out there? And people were talking about it, which means people are talking about TNA, which means that they're in the conversation. They could have signed Spike Dudley for all I know, you know, and it would have been, what, really? That was your big free agent? At least, you know, Rampage Jackson is a little bit bigger, but is it that big? No. Is this going to do anything for TNA? No. You know, they had a thing with Kurt Angle and Jackson, and that was kind of interesting. But I would rather see more wrestling, you know, more entertainment, not necessarily MMA guys. So
now, one thing you did bring up also was Matt Hardy. I would have never thought Matt Hardy would have been a big free agent signing. When they said this, and before Rampage, you know, they announced Rampage, I thought it was going to be someone from Chikara, because if you haven't seen the show, go watch it. You'll understand. They shut the place down. And no one knows what's going on with that, but we'll, when we get more information about that promotion, we'll talk about it. But the other thing also that we talked about was MVP. He did tweet that he will be on United States television this year. Is it WWE? Is it TNA? Or is it Ring of Honor? Which one is it going to be?
I think it's going to be the local station in the Quad City area. You know, he's going to be on at 3 a.m. and he's going to be doing a book signing tour. That's what I think it's going to be.
Yeah, he'll be
I'm going to be in the minority here. I was never a big MVP fan. I think that the character is a little interesting, but you know, the guy who plays him, I don't know. I don't really care for him. And so if TNA signs him, whatever. You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But then again, he might change. You know, he might do something different that might make me go, oh, you know what? I kind of like that guy. So, Andy, but let's move on to WWE programming this week. So I want to ask you what you thought about Daniel Bryan taking on Ryback on Monday Night Raw.
I thought it was really cool. I thought the fact that he wrestled a great tag match to open the show, and then he wrestles another match to the end of the show. I think they're going to break him and Kane up. Team Hell No is going to be done. And I was very impressed with the match. I'm sorry, but like anyone who can make Ryback look good, got to give props to him. And by the way, why was Ryback basically reading from a cue card when he ran into Daniel Bryan? He's like, hey, man, you need to chill. You need to cool down. What was up with that segment?
He looked at his hand and he goes, hey, guy, you need to and look, Ryback, he's not a mic guy, all right, plain and simple, he is not. But the match that they had, and kudos to Ryback too, because Ryback also helped make Daniel Bryan look good and made Daniel Bryan look even more credible than I think he's looked in quite a while. Daniel Bryan, of course, did a great job, but I think Ryback did a pretty good job too. The fact that it ended in a, of course, a disqualification, a little disappointing, but the match itself, I think, helped put Daniel Bryan on the map. And if the rumor is true about Daniel Bryan getting a huge push, this match is going to be the thing that will do it.
Is he the number two babyface in the company?
No.
Should he be?
Should he be?
Yes.
You know, that's a tough one because, you know, you have Randy Orton, and Randy Orton is a really huge draw. John Cena is, of course, the biggest draw in wrestling right now. You know, CM Punk is a pretty good babyface. Chris Jericho, another really good one. Don't get me wrong, I like Daniel Bryan, but, you know, he's probably not even in the top five.
Really? I think he actually should be, you know, in the top five. Maybe three, if not number two. But I guess it all depends on what happens with Punk. So Curtis Axel beat Cena again.
In a no disqualification match.
Yes.
How did he win, Andy?
How did he win? I don't remember.
Count out.
Oh, so it's the no, jeez.
It was a no disqualification match.
That's right.
And he won by count out.
Unbelievable.
Now, I know that a lot of people were up in arms about this saying, well, count out is a disqualification. No, it is two different things because you can have a no count out match but still get disqualified. You can have a no disqualification match and get counted out. Now, being the WWE, as they are, they don't always follow the rules. A no holds barred match is really an extreme rules, which is a street fight, which is a hardcore match. You know, it's semantics at that point in time. They actually were correct and they followed the rules in this case. Kind of stupid, though. It made no sense. But the other thing, too, is Curtis actually Axel even beat Chris Jericho on SmackDown. Now, wins over Triple H, John Cena twice, and now Chris Jericho. What are we thinking? I mean, is he getting pushed straight to the top?
It looks like he is. I mean, the thing is also, do you know how old he is?
No, I don't.
He's 33. Guess how old, who is the youngest on the main roster? Who is the youngest wrestler? Do you know who it is?
CM Punk?
No.
Daniel Bryan?
No. You're not going to believe this, but it's Tyler Black, a.k.a. Seth Rollins. He's 26.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
He's 26, all right? He's getting pushed because he has longevity. He has 10 years. Curtis Axel, you may get 5 years out of him, like 5 quality years, and then after that, who knows? that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I understand he got held back for so long, and now they're like, we're going to push him all the way to the top. But they did the same thing with Ryback, and they screwed that up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the fact Triple H likes him, so that is very beneficial to him. We'll see what happens with his career. The other thing also, are you enjoying the whole thing with Sheamus and Sandow? Like all the gimmicks that they're doing with that?
It's interesting. Do I like it? Not really. Is it something that they're doing pretty well? I would actually say so. I think that, look, it's not my type of thing, but it's not bad. And I know a lot of people probably like it. I like Damian Sandow. I think he is a really terrific heel. And I think that Sheamus, if he puts Sandow over, if WWE has that happen, you know, at Payback, you have Sandow beat Sheamus, which I don't think that match has been announced, but I'm assuming. If you have Sandow win, boom, you have a top tier heel then. You really do. But if you have him get buried, which they probably will, then, you know, you're just hurting him. You're just giving somebody for Sheamus to feed on. And I think that's where the problem lies. You have to have Sandow get a win over Sheamus.
And I think he will. I'm pretty sure at the pay-per-view he'll put him over, because right now, what is Sheamus doing? There's really nothing going on with Sheamus. He can put him over at least, because Sheamus is, I consider, a made wrestler. If Sandow beats him, he is upper mid-card right off the bat. He's not main event material yet, but he's upper mid-card. And he is, I think, the best heel right now. Of all the heels the WWE has, he's the one that I actually like watching, because he always does the intelligent stuff, which makes me laugh, and he basically puts down all the fans. And he's very, he knows how to talk properly. He's smart. Keep pushing it. It's very, it's been, to me, it's been very enjoyable. The one thing also that I don't get still is the whole Triple H angle. He's still concussed, and, you know, they brought the family out. They brought, you know, his father-in-law and his wife got brought into it, and they kicked him out. Do you think they're going to push him and Axel at Payback? You know, only a week away?
No, I think that they're going to actually push this for a longer term. Money in the Bank, probably. Maybe even SummerSlam. We might see Curtis Axel taking on Triple H. And then you'll see Triple H get his Payback at SummerSlam. But I don't know. Do I really care that much about it? No. I think if Triple H puts Axel over, then it'll be a little bit bigger of a deal. I wonder where Triple H is at in his career, though. Is he at that point where he wants to put people over? You know, he lost to Brock Lesnar twice. You know, but at the same time, he also beat Punk for no reason, you know, a year and a half ago, which makes zero sense still to this day. So I think that, you know, I don't know. I mean, we could have some pretty good stuff here. But Andy, I want to ask you, I got a question for you. You know, Where's Waldo? I don't know if you didn't.
I wasn't big into Where's Waldo, but of course you had the books and you pointed out the one Where's Waldo where he had like a stripe, one stripe on a shirt or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, Andy, where in the world is Dolph Ziggler?
I'm not sure. He came back at a house show recently and showed up on SmackDown, if I'm correct.
So, and Dolph Ziggler, the World Heavyweight Champion, you know what's really sad? With him being gone...
The 30-day rule?
Well, no. Look, no one ever follows that. With him being gone, I like Ziggler. I like him a lot. But that title, I didn't miss it. I hate to say that, but that's one of those things where I go, they don't need that title. Seeing him, the fact that he's been gone, you could have a much better WWE title picture right now, because you would have Alberto Del Rio, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, and Ryback going for that title right now, trying to take down Cena. That's what your picture would be. And instead, you have two people going after Ziggler, one person going after Cena, and that's it. It's like, well, why? There's no need for that. And so that's the thing that's very interesting about his absence, is I feel like it has hurt the World Heavyweight Championship.
I completely agree. It's really sad because we haven't seen it, and the fact that, you know, they're not following the 30-day rule, as you know, has been mentioned multiple times. But I think they're giving him a special pass since he got the concussion.
Yeah.
When he's back to full time, who knows? But he won't be able to wrestle at Payback. So then that's two pay-per-views that the title has not been defended at. That is completely messed up. But you know what's not messed up? HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster? Are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo sale. Easiest. And make sure you use the special coupon code OFFTHEMARK and you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite ever web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86 Off the Mark page, and you're going to see a banner for WWEshop.com. Click on that. But before you click on that, there's going to be a code, WWESAVE10. And what happens is, if you spend more than $70, you'll get $10 off that order as well. And check out HighSpots.com. So let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. Hey, there was a pay-per-view. Slammiversary. Did you miss it?
No, but I didn't see all of it.
Yeah, but the big thing was that Sabin won the X Division title, which I thought was interesting. I, for some reason, thought Suicide would win it, but Sabin comes back. He wins the X title.
Mm-hmm.
Very good match. Ultimate
yeah,
X.
Yeah, it was a good match. I think, though, that the triple threat gimmick needs to go away ASAP. It is just, there's no need for it. And you could have had a fourth person in that match, and it would have been better, I think. Or you could have just had two people, and you would have had a little bit more drama there. You know, after the match, Hogan puts over Sabin, you know, says to cheer for him, you know, always really good, because that's going to help build that young talent. The one thing I really want to say about Slammiversary, though, before we go any further, it was lockdown, right? And then this. And I got to tell you, man, it feels like a big deal. That's the thing I think I really like about the TNA pay-per-views now. I feel like they seem like they're on a bigger stage. Like I don't want to say WrestleMania, but I do want to say like a Royal Rumble. Like when Royal Rumble rolls around, it's like, dude, Royal Rumble's here, man. I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be big. And this kind of feels like a Royal Rumble pay-per-view. And I like that. I think that makes the pay-per-views now a little bit more special. And if I was WWE, I'm not saying cut it down to four. You know, that would just be dumb for them because they get a lot of money from it. But take out one or two that are your lowest grossing. You know, take out the Elimination Chamber. You know, take out Night of Champions or something stupid like that. That's what I would want to do.
Night of Champions. We're not all the titles get defended, like in TNA. But speaking of that, I do agree. My only problem is that Bound for Glory is 4 months away. Mm-hmm. 4 months away. They should have spaced this. This pay-per-view should happen next month. It should happen in July. It should be every quarter you have a pay-per-view. Realistically, they're not going to have a pay-per-view in the third quarter. 7, 8, and 9 for those months. No pay-per-view. Besides the Friday night $15 ones.
I don't count those. I watched two of them. And I think actually they've only had two. And I just don't get it, dude. I really don't get it. It's like the tag team one, it's a bunch of tag matches which happened the exact same way. Oh, it was just kind of boring, to be honest. And having the Aces and Eights there, no, you don't need that. But I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent. I do want to mention, though, that Storm and Gunner are your new tag team champions. Good move.
Speaking of boring, this was a good match. I'll give him that. I don't know why Gunner has the title. I mean, I see Storm, you know, they're trying to get the tag division over and stuff. But the fact that Storm gets stuck with Gunner actually makes Storm look weak. He's not there anymore. And really, Bobby Roode, same thing. What do you do with those two guys? They were just feuding and now they're in tags. Come on.
You know, I think that Aries and Roode probably should have had the title, but I think that maybe because of what Aries did, that they nixed that idea.
Yeah.
I think Bad Influence would have been really good with the titles too. I like them. Look, you know, Cass and Daniels, they make Impact Wrestling. Honestly, right now, those two are some of the best things going for them. They really are. And I really kind of wish that they would have won. But oh well. My question though to you, Andy, is where do you go from here? You know, we had Hernandez and Chavo wrestle each other tonight, one on one, for a qualifying match for the Bound for Glory series. So they're probably not going to be a tag team. You know, Aries and Rude probably still will be, maybe Bad Influence, but that's what, three tag teams?
Yep.
You know, so what? They're just going to keep feuding with Aries and Rude?
I would assume so, but it's almost you want to have the Bound for Glory stuff happening. And by the way, TNA blew it with Bound for Glory, with the whole thing with AJ Styles. They just blew it. There has
What do you mean?
You would think that some way, somehow, he would have still got a title shot.
No, how is that blowing it?
Because you would think that they would start pushing for it, you know, months before Bound for Glory. Like, even at lockdown, they should have been talking about how he's going to try in some way, somehow, get a chance at the title.
Well, he can't for a full year, though.
But the thing is, they could have somehow made it where he fought the guy for the world title. You know, like, for instance, let's say that somehow Angle beat Bully Ray, and at the next show, basically at the next pay-per-view, it's supposed to be Angle versus Styles.
They could have done something like that. Yeah, it'd be a non-title match then.
But they could have said, well, we can't take him out, so I guess he gets this title shot.
No, it'd be a non-title match then. Look, I disagree with you wholeheartedly. It is smart what they are doing. I think telling AJ he's not allowed to get a shot at the title is a good way to go about it. I know we had talked in the past about, well, he could get a shot if he has the X Division title. You know, that one might be a loophole. But the other loophole, too, is have AJ take on Bully Ray at Bound for Glory after AJ wins the Bound for Glory series. I think that's probably going to be the best thing to do. And, you know, there'll be a lot of really great stuff in the lead up, because the people in the Bound for Glory series tend to be your A-listers. So you're going to see AJ taking on James Storm, taking on Robert Roode, Jeff Hardy is in the mix. You're going to see all those people wrestling each other all the time, and not on pay-per-views, on free TV. So when you're going to be at the event in Peoria, you're going to see some really awesome wrestling. So I disagree with you there.
All right, but I think we all agree that D-Von finally lost the TV title to Abyss. About time.
Oh, by the way, the TV title was not defended this week, in case you were wondering.
Oh, I already knew that. I didn't have to watch Impact to know that. I knew it just wasn't going to be around, just because, well, that title is pretty much worthless, but hey, that's two title changes. Actually, no, sorry, that was the third title change now. So they had Sabin, Storm and Gunner, and Abyss. They all won titles.
No titles were defended on Impact this week, by the way.
By the way, did you like the women's match with Gail Kim and Taryn Terrell?
I didn't see it, but I've heard it's really good.
It was pretty decent for a women's match. Like, if so far for women's matches, that's probably the best one. It was just a great match. Gail Kim put on a great show. Hmm. The other thing I thought was interesting is that Bully retains. And we all thought that, I kept saying, I think Brooke's going to turn. Didn't happen. Bully wants,
I think
though.
It's being planted. You know, she will probably turn. I'll be honest, before that, I did not. I was like, really? Like, she's going to turn? I could see it, but that'd be weird. But now I fully agree with you. But I got to ask you, so he beat Sting. Who's up next, Andy? Who's going to be the next guy? He faced Jeff Hardy on Impact, but is there anyone else?
No, that's the sad part. The other thing also I thought was interesting is that Sting put out a tweet saying he stands alone.
Well, that's going to be a storyline going
forward.
Yes, it
is.
But, So, you know, he's obviously going to retain until Bound for Glory, probably lose the title there.
Mm-hmm.
But in between, he's got to have a feud with somebody. So who was he going to be feuding with?
Ah, good question. Who do you have?
You could potentially do like Magnus. You could do Samoa Joe. Mm. Abyss. Because you got to have somebody, you know?
Yeah, you do. But it's like, who? And does Sting really need to wrestle anymore? Or is he going to go into the shadows like he did, you know, in WCW days?
He'll probably go in the shadows.
Nah, that's what I'm thinking is going to happen, too. Yeah. So Bound for Glory contestants are announced.
Some of them.
Some of them. Who are they?
So we have the one of the gut check contestants, and it's like, okay, who cares? Why is he even in there? Samoa Joe, Hernandez was another one. We're probably going to have AJ Styles. It's going to be a lot of the, you know, usual suspects in there.
Is Robbie E going to be in it?
No, Robbie E faced Samoa Joe, and the winner, you know, of course, would get a shot or be in the Bound for Glory series. Guess who did not win?
Are you serious, bro?
Yeah.
The List, bro.
Yeah. He actually, you know what? He probably should be in there just to, like, lose to everybody. But so anyway, Andy.
Negative points.
That's not for Impact Wrestling. Let's move on to our weekly topic.
Yes, so let's move on to our weekly topic. We had, of course, our senior correspondent, Mr. Doug Hong. He was at Extreme Rules. And where was Extreme Rules again, Doug?
Extreme Rules was in St. Louis, Missouri.
So how was the drive down there?
It wasn't bad. I was a little rushed because I just got off work and had to get down there. And I got there just in time to get to a train that then took me into the city and got me there. I would say the only complaint is that the Scott Trade Center will not allow you to take pictures.
What?
Yes.
So you weren't able to get any pictures of the event?
Just the one off of my phone. That was it.
Oh, that's crap.
So what did they do? Did they go to you and say, hey, put your camera away?
No, as you enter, they were patting everybody down. They saw that I had a telephoto lens, and then they said, you have to take that back to your car. And I said, my car is 40 minutes away. By train. And they said, okay, you have to check it into the customer service then.
Oh, that's messed up, dude.
Wow.
They did explain that is a Scott Trade thing, not a WWE thing, so no complaints to WWE. In fact, they were actually complaining to the Scott Trading Center too, saying it was not right. And I do look forward to hopefully taking pictures at Payback when I go.
Just out of curiosity, do you think they're upset because you probably wore a Blackhawks jersey and they know what's up?
Well, I specifically did not wear a Blackhawks jersey this time. I wore my Green Lantern shirt, hoping that would get me on, well, at least more noticeable in a darker area. But it threw me off because their only explanation now, I thought it was going to be like, you could hide weapons in a telephoto lens or a bomb in a telephoto lens or something like that. The guy explained to me that you can put a mirror in the crack of the telephoto lens that you attach to the camera and therefore get a closer picture.
What?
Yes, that was my explanation too. I showed him that I was a public servant. And that didn't get me anywhere.
Did you say something, something danger zone?
Yes.
So, Doug, let's move on, though, to the matches. So 9 matches were shown, you know, one of them being a pre-show match. What match stood out to you the most?
I you know what? I'm going to have to go ahead and say that the ending match, the Triple H Brock Lesnar stood out the most.
It was the one
I was most excited for that one because I think out of all of them, that this one was going to be. I was looking for that epic third and final match. The end result where I knew that whoever wins, it's going to end the series. I figured Ryback and Cena, which was a decent match, it was still going to continue. The feud was still going to continue. Everything else, I figured some kind of feud would continue. But that one was going to be the ending of the saga between them. And that's one of the things I like about it.
Nice, nice. Now, where were you at in the Scott Trade Arena?
I was in the club level camera side. So when you see kind of like a far out upper view of it, that's exactly where I was. In fact, they had a camera right next to me. Filming from the upper part of it.
Nice. You know what you should have done? Just flash the badge and said, I got to be ringside and just see if they got you down there.
So, Doug, which wrestler do you feel had the biggest pop of the night when you were there?
biggest pop of the night is going to have to go to Randy Orton.
Wow, his entrance or when he won?
Entrance. There was no louder entrance except for Randy Orton. And that's kind of what I assume, being it is his hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, just massive pop. Randy did feed off of it, did a very good job feeding off of it, got the crowd really into it. And what I thought was a, you know, like I said, I think that was one of the few ones that was barely a extreme rules match. So it was like, oh, here, let's throw this match in there just because Randy's from here. Mm-hmm. But it did keep the crowd into it, and everybody was very excited. I did love the ending of it, the fact that it took the boot to finish him. That I didn't expect. So I did expect Randy to win, but I didn't expect him to have to use the boot.
And which wrestler do you feel had the most heat?
The most heat?
Yes.
Ugh, that's tough. Because actually, out of all of them, I mean, I was very amazed. There was some cheers for Ambrose when he came out and when he won. You know, there was cheers almost for everybody. Really,
did Cena have any extra boos thrown his way?
You could definitely tell the high-pitched noise when Cena comes out and the cheers, and you can tell the volume of people that are booing are mostly adult males.
Kind of like how Hogan was back in the day, where no one liked him except the kids.
Yeah.
Because he said, eat your vitamins and shoot steroids.
Yes.
That was his message.
Winning combination.
Yes, it was. Now, with the Ambrose match, when he beat Kofi, do you think that was the second match of the night?
Second favorite match? Or
yes.
I don't know. This one was really tough. I mean, I will say that despite the numerous amount of breaks that were in the last man standing match, which you kind of have to assume for last standing match, they do a 10 count for every time somebody falls down. There was some good pop in that, and a lot of a lot of tools were used, a lot of outside interference. What is the word I'm looking for? I just watched Ready to Rumble and Foreign Object. And, a lot of foreign objects were used, and the fact that they used the whole arena, too, to fight was pretty exciting. I really did enjoy it, except for, like I said, every time somebody fell down, you had to go to a 10 count.
Mm-hmm. How did the crowd react with the whole thing when Cena and Ryback went through the LEDs?
It was kind of a scene of confusion. I know a lot of... I was going to say that where I was sitting, I don't want to sit there again, only because it was a little bit of a cheaper seat, which is also the reason why I went. But everywhere around me were just little kids, because that's what you can afford to take your little kids to when you go to an event like this, and it costs so much to do that. So every time I cheered, which was usually for the heel, everybody would turn and look at me like I was an idiot. And I'd also have to, kind of censor myself on a couple things. I saw somebody screw up, and I wanted to say, you effed up, but I quickly realized I was the only one going to start that chant and the only one that was going to continue that one, too.
All the kids would be like, what do you mean?
Yeah, they didn't quite understand exactly it, but... So it was kind of a different feel, whereas the other ones that I've gone to, I've been on the floor. I've been right next to, the people that are just willing to pay, love wrestling, know the behind-the-scenes stuff, and also love to shout out Smart Aleck remarks. And so this time I kind of had to catch myself, and I was already in a down mood because of the camera thing, and then it's like, now I can't even really cheer or root for people. It's like, this is great. Oh, well. I will say this. I do love the Extreme Rules because of all the gimmick matches. The fact that it had 8 or 9 matches with the pre-show. The gimmicks did get me through it, so I was happy about that.
Now, Doug, with Extreme Rules, this is something for Aaron as well. Do you think that should be counted also with Money in the Bank, as in have the Extreme Rules matches and have 2 Money in the Bank matches, Aaron?
No, I don't. Well, first of all, I think Money in the Bank, you have just the one match, make it like a special thing. I think Extreme Rules is a pretty good idea for a pay-per-view. I think that's that you don't have to go completely crazy on gimmick matches, though. You could have four and call it a day. You know, have a last man standing, have a steel cage, a ladder, strap match, that type of thing. You know, in this one they had, you know, a couple of normal singles matches. So, no, I don't think that you should do – I don't think you should combine Extreme Rules with Money in the Bank.
All right. It was just a thought. Now, Doug, with this, watching Extreme Rules, would it be worth it again to go even – let's say if it was in Chicago or even Indianapolis. Would you go if it's that close?
Well, to kind of counteract Aaron's point on it, the reason they had so many gimmick matches, I have to feel, is because there was no setup to most of these matches. There was no real good storyline. So to put on a show like Extreme Rules, they almost had to have all the gimmicks in there just to make it even a worthwhile to watch it. If they only have four of the, you know, gimmick matches and they're going to try to give this kind of build up to it, then no, I wouldn't say it's worth to go it. But to have eight or nine matches and only maybe two of them are regular matches, then yeah, I'd say it is very interesting to see it. I mean, how many times do you see a strap match? How many times do you see a steel cage match? How many times do you get to see the an I Quit match, which is basically a normal match in itself?
So Doug, wait, hold on. You're telling me you don't remember the great build-up to the Dean Ambrose-Kofi Kingston match?
Unless you count the Kofi won the title as the build-up, no, I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else does either. But.
And also the Shield versus Team Hell No, that was no build-up whatsoever either.
Well, I think that they had a little bit more build-up than that, but... but either way, so all in all, though, it sounds like it was a good pay-per-view to go to. You know, I got to ask, and we'll ask this question again, but Extreme Rules, Royal Rumble, which was better?
Royal Rumble, hands down.
Was it better because it was the Royal Rumble, or was it just better as a pay-per-view?
Both. I mean, Royal Rumble is one of those things that it's always going to have that setup. I mean, just like WrestleMania. It's always going to have the best setup going into it. You know, the Money in the Bank one, it, really when you look at it, when I went to Money in the Bank, I got extremely lucky to have that kind of build up to it with CM Punk and Cena. That was just huge. And, I mean, that was WrestleMania worthy. It's just too bad that it wasn't the time for WrestleMania there. But... you know, like I said, this match, there was hardly any build-up to any of the matches. It is the, you know what, we just had WrestleMania. That was the end of our real storyline planning. Now we need to start over and, oh, wait, we're going to have a pay-per-view in a month. You know what? I would rather have them skip the month after WrestleMania and really build up the next pay-per-view and have that set up SummerSlam.
Nice. So, Doug, we just want to thank you also for coming on the show and talking about Extreme Rules.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.